At this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. So if you want to make your way next door with Pastor Rachel, you're going to have just a great time this morning. Everybody else, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We are continuing our 50-day focus of kingdom building. And it's really about orienting our lives around Jesus' command, his commission to his followers. And as followers of Jesus, you know, Matthew records these as the last words of Jesus in his account. And it's those last words that are to be lasting words for us, things that motivate and challenge us. And Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And we've been looking at this, the fact that Jesus has challenged us, he has commissioned us, he is calling us to build his kingdom and to have an impact in our world. Last week we talked about how we were made for more, and we looked at that God uses the unlikely to accomplish the unexpected. And the good news is this, is even if you don't feel like, you know, there's nothing special about you, God is in the business of doing amazing things just through ordinary people. And as we think about this, we're going to kind of move to the next step in just thinking about this idea. And today we're going to talk about using time wisely. And I want to talk about time. How many know that we're a pretty time-conscious being? We're a time-conscious culture. Like, how many of you are already thinking, okay, is it almost time to go? How many have had those moments? Halfway through the message, you'll be like thinking, okay, is the pastor almost done because it's got to be time to go? How many have that stomach that is set and it's just like, it just lets you know it's lunch time or it's dinner time? We are moved by time, and we have our watches, and we have our phones, and we have our calendars, and all these things, because in our lives, we are aware of the importance and value of time. And this morning, as we continue this idea of how to build or building the kingdom, I want to ask this question: what does it take to build the kingdom? What does it take to build the kingdom? And the way we're going to answer it this morning is this, is time. That what it takes to build the kingdom is time. You know, as many of you, you've been watching just the videos and the pictures and the things that have been coming out of Hurricane Helene and how it has just devastated communities. Like just the raw power of water and gravity. How many know water and gravity are some pretty amazing things? Like in some of the places, they received close to 20 inches of rain in about a day and a half. And it was in a mountainous terrain so that all the water came down the hills and then just funneled downhill. And just the enormity of it. And if you've seen some of the things, you could watch the power of the water as it was like bending metal and beams and taking away roads where people have done all this building and just gone. There's houses that are floating, and there are communities that were built along rivers that are just demolished. And you think about that. Now, I don't know about you, but I've done a little bit of construction and some renovations. How many here have ever done renovations and you create a little project and you're like, I got my weekend project? How many know it takes time to renovate a room? Can I get a witness on that one? How many of you started renovating a room, you thought it was going to be a weekend, and it turned into a two-year project, right? You know, we have a family in Dryden. They started to they were like, yeah, our weekend project was changing a closet, and 2 years later, they're still almost getting done the closet. It's just kind of fun, right? But you know what? It takes time to renovate a room. How many know that if you're building a house, it takes time to build a house?
Amen.
Amen? How many know that when it comes to a community, it takes time to build a community? And so you'll hear the language, even as people are sharing about some of these communities that are devastated by the flooding, and they're saying, hey, listen, this is going to take time to rebuild. Like, it's going to, like, what was wiped out in a period of essentially 2 days is going to take years to rebuild. Now, if it takes time to renovate a room or build a house or to build a community, how much time do you think it takes to build a kingdom? Now, there's a phrase, it's actually an old French proverb. From 1190, it was first published in a book in 1190, a French proverb. And I would read, or I was going to, you know, read you the French, but I didn't want to sound pretentious. So I just like, I'll just do the English version of it. But you're pretty familiar with this one, and this is what the proverb or saying is, and that is this: Rome wasn't built in a day. How many know Rome wasn't built in a day? It was an enormous empire that was built over generations and generations. You don't build kingdoms in a day. And this is so important because when it comes to kingdom building, what does it require to build the kingdom? It's going to take time. It's going to take time. So today, as we think around this idea of using time wisely, the big idea I want us to just take away is this, is that building the kingdom requires the wise use of time. The wise use of time. And I'm convinced that God wants to build his kingdom and use you and me, and in that process, it's going to require time because he wants his kingdom to be built locally. He wants his kingdom to be built globally. And he wants that building to impact the next generation. And to me, this is so important. You know, if you go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his followers, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is where they were at, Judea and Samaria, which are kind of like the next geographic places over, to the ends of the earth. And so it's local, it's global, and it's so that all generations might know and experience the goodness of God. And so when we think about kingdom building, it's going to require time, a time investment locally. It's going to be on locally and globally. It's going to be a time commitment in order to invest in the next generation. And to me, this is so important. This is why things like, why does a church do something like Trunk or Treat? Because we think it's important that we are investing and touching lives in our community. Like, it requires time. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Because this is really a great passage that challenges us to think about time and how we use our time. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a city that is located at the mouth of the Kaistor River in what is now Turkey. And it was actually the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And the people, it was a place where all this all this value and stuff happened and trade, you know, there'd be ships and all these things. And they were known for their commerce. And what they would do is they would gather in a place called the Agora. Now, I think I have a photo. I have a photo for the thing, if we can throw that one up. So this is actually the ruins of the Agora in Ephesus. So if you went to Ephesus today, just so you know, you can go to Ephesus today. It's still a real geographic location. You can go there and you can see ruins like this. And these ruins are actually the ruins of the Agora. This is the marketplace. This is the place where business and transactions took place in this incredibly rich city. And I want you to kind of keep this picture in mind because we're going to find out in the passage that we read, this picture actually crops up. And I'll see if you can figure it out. Pastor Dwayne should, because he's studying Greek. But Ephesus was not only known for its wealth, it was also known for its worship of Artemis or Diana. Actually, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was located in Ephesus. So this is a city of enormous significance. And Paul had planted a church there, which you can read about in Acts chapter 19. And at one point, he's going to end up in prison, and he's going to write a letter. And his letter is going to get to Ephesus to encourage the church. And he's going to write to encourage and challenge the church and remind them that Jesus has come to redeem and to restore broken creation, to bring peace and to help facilitate transformation or bring about transformation, and that he wants to do it in and through his people. And so he writes these words as a part of his letter. It says this in verse 15, "Be very careful then how you live." Everybody say, "How you live." How many know how you live matters? And it's something we need to be mindful of. So Paul's like, "Hey guys, listen. Pay attention. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise." He goes on to say, "Making the most of every opportunity." Everybody say, "Making the most." How many know that we have to learn to make the most of what matters most? Can I get a witness on this one? Okay, we'll touch that again. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. All right, I want to talk about this passage. We're going to kind of work through it because there are three important ideas in the text that I think we need to be aware of if we're going to use our time wisely to build the kingdom. The first is this, is that we are called to live with purpose and on purpose. That if you have breath in your lungs, if you have invited Jesus into your life, you have been created with purpose and you've been created for purpose. Paul begins by saying, be very careful. The literal words are keep watch, this idea of like be attentive. You need to be focused on this. You need to get your eyeballs on these things. Now, we have little kids. We have not little kids anymore. We have little kids. And sometimes, how many know kids get distracted? How many have moments with kids getting distracted? And I remember having to stand my son or my daughter or my other son or daughter right in front of me. And I had to do this. I'll do it to John because here's him. I'm like, "John, focus." We had to do this. Anybody do this with your kids? Come on now. Focus. Right here. Get your head in the lane. Because how many know that kid is like all over like this? And you're like, "Come on, focus. So if you need help with your children, just grab your child, put them in front of you, go, "Okay, buddy, right here, focus. Bring it in." Because we are a distracted being. Easily distracted. And Paul's like, "Guys, listen, church in Ephesus, hey, right here, get your focus. Hey, I know there's this over here and this over here and this over here. What I need you to do is I need you right here. Be careful, be watchful, be mindful of how you live. Not as unwise, but wise." And this is important because we need a proper focus in our lives. Because if we don't have focus, our lives go in all sorts of directions. And the same is true regarding our time. That if you don't have focus in your life, time gets spent, or things on get spent in time all over the place. And Paul's like, guys, listen, you need to focus in here. You need to be careful how you live. And the idea of how you live there is actually be mindful or careful how you walk. See, there's actually a word picture in here, and that is the picture of paths. And so we'll hear the words wise and unwise. And the idea of with wise and unwise is actually they're roads that you have to learn to walk. How many know that wisdom is more than just a decision? It's a path that you choose to walk. And for biblical wisdom, the idea is this, is I'm going to make decisions today that are for my good, not just today, but down the road and for the future so that my life might experience flourishing and the people around me might experience flourishing. How many know we can make decisions that are not always helpful to us? And how many know sometimes we walk that way? And Paul's like, guys, you need to pay attention to the way you walk. Now, just so you know, this is a really big idea in Ephesians because there are four times that Paul's like, guys, this is what your walk should look like. This is what your walk should look like. And so he says this in chapter 4, verse 1. He says to them, walk in a way worthy of the calling you have received. Walk in a way worthy of the calling you have received. And he's saying, hey guys, listen, you need to walk as a response to that which Christ has called you to. Did you ever notice that the way Jesus initiates this whole journey is simply going up to a person and saying these words, follow me. Follow me. And the idea of follow me isn't that he's going to be way out there and you'll be behind there. When he says follow me, he's saying walk with me, learn from me, be in the path with me. And that's what we've been called to. And he says, listen, if you're going to go through life, you need to be attentive to the fact that you've been called to something and you need to live worthy of it. That means that your life needs to come in balance to what you've been called to. Live worthy of the calling you've received. Not only that, walk in the way of love. He'll say this in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And so he says, listen, you're called to walk in the way. Like there's a calling that you've been given, and you have to say, okay, I have to be attentive in my life that I am living toward the calling. But not only that, I have to live and walk the path of love. And not just any love, but the love defined by Jesus. Because as Paul writes, he says, walk in the way of love just as, everybody say just as. Because it's like this is the model, this is the example of how we're to walk, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So Jesus lived not for himself, but he lived for others. Like walk in a way worthy of the calling you've received. Walk in the way of love. And then he'll say this, walk as children of light. You'll see this in Ephesians 5:8. That we're called to walk and bring light to the darkness. And then he'll say this in verse 15, walk not as the unwise, but as the wise. And the reason I say all of this is because in our life, we have to understand what path are we choosing to walk. Because the path we choose to walk will determine how we use our time. So what path will we walk? We're followers of Christ. We're called to walk the path that we've been called to, worthy of the calling, a path of love, a path of light, a path of wisdom. You see, all of us who are followers of Jesus are called to live with purpose and on purpose. not just every once in a while, but as a way of life. The second thing I want to note from this passage is this. We need to be intentional with our time. As Paul writes, we need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How many know that time is one of our most precious commodities? Time. If you don't think so, if you've ever lost a loved one, what would you pay in order to have another hour with them? And you'll pay a lot. Why? Because time is valuable. How many know we don't always understand how valuable time is until we don't have time? Time is actually one of our most precious commodities. And sometimes we think, I got lots and lots of time. But we don't. How many know that all of us, the thing that levels the playing field, because in our culture, we're all about leveling the playing field, right? We're trying to make economics and politics and all these different things, leveling the playing field. You want to know where the playing field is most level? Is regards to time. How many hours do you have in your day? 24. Hey, how many minutes in your hour? 60. How many seconds in your minute? 60. We all have the same amount of time in a given day. What will we do with our time? It's one of our most precious commodities. This is why I say we need to make the most of what matters most, and that is our time. Make the most of every opportunity. One way, if you're in the verse where it says make the most of every opportunity, if you literally translate it, it'll be translated redeeming the time. And the idea of redeem there actually takes the word. Remember the marketplace, the agora of Ephesus, that marketplace where business transactions took place, that word is actually the root word of redeeming. And it's kind of a word picture. Like how many of you have gone shopping and you saw something you wanted and maybe it was on sale or maybe it was there and you're like going, hey, oh man, I'd so like that, but hey, you know what? I can't do it right now. I'll come back and get it. And then you go back, and it's gone. Does that make sense? And just so you know, this is not a sermon. If you want it, go buy it now, because it'll be gone tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to console. Every husband here is like, oh no, pastor just said. And all the wives are like, well, I got to get it, because it may not be here tomorrow. Paul is talking about time. That you know what? That once time is spent, you don't get it back. And so what you have to do is you have to buy back your time now. You have to be intentional about it. You have to be disciplined about your time. Because what we do with our time matters. Now, in our culture, in our world, this is what I know. Lots of people are trying to get your money from your pockets into their pockets. Can I get a witness on this one? Right? Like that's part of this whole transactional thing. Nice little commercial, and you're like going, hey, you can do this for three easy payments of $99.95. But wait, if you do it now, and the whole thing is this transactional. They're trying to get money from your pockets to theirs. That's just part of life. It's not a good, bad, it's just a thing. But the other thing that people want to get from you is your time. Is your time. How do we know that sometimes our lives, we are so busy, we don't have time for everything because of the demands of all the things in our life that is calling for our time? See, Paul says, listen, you need to redeem the time. You need to be intentional with your time because the days are evil. And when he's saying the days are evil, he's not just saying because you live in bad times. But he recognizes that there are those things that happen all around us that distract us from the good that we've been created to accomplish. that God has a purpose for your life, yet there are so many demands that seek to keep you distracted so you don't live with purpose or on purpose. Now, if we took time to talk about time wasting, we won't do a whole lot of it this morning, but how many think that we have a capacity to waste a lot of time? Right? How many know your phone is a great tool and also a great time waster at times? How many know video games are a great time waster? How many know children? No, I'm just kidding. What a waste of time, right? But we have all these things. Just so you know, wasting time is not a new phenomena. It's not just because we have technology doesn't make wasting time something new. So this is what I think is kind of amusing. So the same time that the Apostle Paul was alive, on this side of the kingdom, so to speak, he's kind of in this Turkey area, which is kind of like the eastern side of the Roman Empire. On the western side of the Roman Empire, concurrently with his life, they're living at the same time. In a way, they're contemporaries. They weren't in the same field, but they live at the same time. Is a philosopher whose name is Seneca. Seneca the philosopher made this statement, and I think this is pretty funny. He says this. So you got to think, he's writing this about or around the same times that Ephesians is being written. It's not that we have a short time to live, Seneca writes, but that we waste a lot of it. I think this is interesting. Seneca, same time as Paul, is like going, hey, you know what? This is like, because you might be thinking, well, we waste time because of all the things that are happening now and all the distractions. Hey, listen, humanity has a way of being distracted, and our distractions keep us from living the purpose we were created for. And because we can't add to our days, we must use time wisely for its intended purpose. So we need to use time wisely. The third thing that I will note is this, is that serving brings clarity. Paul will say, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And you're like going, that would be great if I could understand what the Lord's will is. Anybody here ever have those moments? You're like going, good Lord, Lord, what is your will for my life? Anybody have those moments? Like there's that sense of, okay, so in the pastor will stand up and say, well, God's word is God's will. You're like going, great. But what am I supposed to do with my life? Like, what is God's will for, you know, Paul's like going, hey, you know, redeem the time, you know, the days are evil. And in all of this, you need to understand what God's will is for your life. And you're like going, I have no clue. Do you know one of the ways you discover what God's will for your life is? Your unique purpose, the unique contribution that God has created you for? One of the ways you figure out what it is actually through serving. The word understanding there isn't the idea of just knowledge, like know what God's will is. Like, you know, you have this, like, I know what God's will is. That's not the word that's used there. The word that's used there is the idea of putting together some parts, to put some things together. Like, understand what God's will is. It's about joining facts into a comprehensive whole. And what happens is, as we begin to serve, as we begin to say, okay, I'm going to take time to invest in building the kingdom, because building the kingdom takes time, and you begin to serve in areas, what ends up happening is you're like going, hey, you know what? There's something in me that, yeah, I've been made for this. There's something that you'll do some things, you're like going, yeah, I can serve and do it. It's not ringing the bell in me, but I'll do it because serving is important. But there'll be other times you'll do it and you're like going, oh my goodness, this really resonates in my heart. And the pieces of our serving begin to put together the picture of what we've been created for. Serving brings clarity. And many of us, we're trying to figure out, God, what's your will for my life? Well, what we have to do is we actually have to invest time in serving. Because investing our time in serving begins to produce clarity about our divine purpose and call. And if we do not invest our time in serving, how will we ever understand what God's will is for our lives? This is why I say building the kingdom requires the wise use of time. All right, so I'm going to bring this all to a close. Y'all ready for this? How many ready for it to close? You're like, is it time to end yet? Is it time to end? How many think it's time to end? A vote. Okay, then worship team, come on up. All right, you ready for this? We're just going to bring it to a close. Building the kingdom requires the wise use of time. So how do you use time wisely? I'll give you three quick things. First of all, you need to embrace the mission. You need to embrace the fact that God has called you to make a difference in this world. It's about embracing the mission that God has called you to be a kingdom builder. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to invest my time locally, globally, and for the future of the next generation. And I'll begin to live for something that's bigger than just me. I will live a life worthy of the calling. I will live a life of love. I will live a life of light. I will live a life of wisdom. I will live on mission. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we all give an account. We stand before God and we give an account for our time. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you and the assignment I gave you? What did you do with the time that I gave you and with the assignment that I gave you? We all have to answer that question. Because we know it's a coming question on the test, we need to prepare ourselves so that we can give the answer. Secondly, how to use your time wisely. Embrace the mission. Secondly, I would say this, block some time. How many know there's lots of things that get on our calendar? Our work schedule. How many got your work schedule on your calendar? How many got your sleep schedule? I at least have that place where I don't block appointments because I'm supposed to be sleeping. Some people put exercise on their calendar. Some people put sports, whether it's the sports they play or the sports they watch. Some people are like, church needs to get over because the kickoff starts in just a little bit. You know it because you got the time. You notice they play games and there's a start time. And we build our lives around time. Y'all with me on this one? So we put that on our calendar. How many know we'll put family time on the calendar, right? Vacations. How many love a good vacation? Oh, bless the Lord. How many know we'll put church on the calendar? I just want to say this before I go in. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to church today. I understand time is precious, and I understand that there are a lot of competing demands for your time. And the fact that you came today, I just want to say thank you so much for making the time. I believe it's important time. I believe it's necessary time. I believe that it's time God asks of us. And so thank you for taking the time. Yet in our schedule, let me ask you this question. Have you blocked time in your schedule to build the kingdom? Have you blocked time where you say, you know what, this is my time to begin to serve the purpose of God? That this is my time to serve people in my community, maybe serve people in the church. This is my time where it's not about me receiving, it's about me giving of myself to another. Have you blocked time? Because I think what we have to do in our lives, we have to make time for what's important, and so we have to embrace the mission, and then we have to block some time. And not only do we need to do those two things, the last thing is this, is that as we go, we need to be ready for divine appointments and opportunities. Because let me tell you something about your life you may or may not realize. God has already strategically placed you for kingdom impact. Like, I don't care whether you like living in New York or not. I don't care whether you would rather be somewhere else where there's more sun and lower taxes. I don't care if you like the job you have, like, or the school you're going to. What I do know is this, is no matter where you are, God knows where you are, and He has strategically placed you in this time to make a difference for His kingdom. And sometimes we're not absolutely aware of it, but God's like, listen, I have positioned you in this place because there is a heart, there is a life, there is a soul that needs to experience my love and grace, and I have put you there so that you might take the time to impact another. See, God will interrupt your schedule and say, I got something for you in this time, in this moment. We like to think of them as divine appointments and divine opportunities. It's when you're at the grocery store or you're at the gas station and all of a sudden it seems as though a conversation just arises and you're talking and there's an opportunity just to share and God's like, hey, we're going to use this opportunity. It could be that you come across someone who's hurting and God's like going, hey, you know what? I put you here so you might minister my love and grace to that person. And we have to say, what are we going to do with our time? Remember, Jesus told a story about this, didn't he? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That there was a person who was like beat up and broken on the side of the road, but two people kept walking by, the priest and the teacher of the law. And part of it is because they didn't have the time. They wanted to be somewhere else, and so they went to the other side. But there was a Samaritan. What did it cost the Samaritan to help the hurting man? Took his time. Let me tell you something. Unscheduled moments in your life where this stuff happens, unscheduled does not mean unplanned. Because God has a purpose for your time. And as Mordecai said to Esther, who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So if we're going to build the kingdom, it's going to require the wise use of our time. Here's a little thought to hold on to. This is a good thought. Ready for this? Time is irrelevant in eternity. Just want you to know, time is irrelevant in eternity. So if you remember the way, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. When He did that, it started time. And there's going to be a time when He comes where He's going to come back and He's going to make everything right and everything good. And from that time on, where do we live? We live into eternity, unmarked by time. So where's the only place that we actually have to be mindful and wisely use our time? It's now. And may we use our time wisely to build the kingdom. Because how many know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It took time. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. One is an experience or something to do beyond this moment. And that is this, is grab your phone and set an alarm, a repeating alarm, just for the next 7 days. Pick an obscure time, like 1:37 p.m., not a.m. If you're an a.m. person, go ahead. But this boy's going to be sleeping. But 1:37. Just something like that, and just set an alarm. Just so that in the midst of your week, that alarm will just go off, and that alarm is just your simple reminder that, you know what? I have to use my time wisely. It's an opportunity to pray, God, would you help me Use my time for your glory. Because there's a kingdom that needs to be built. Because there's a world that is incredibly broken. Again, we are captured by the devastation of a storm. If only we could see spiritually the devastation that hasn't just wrecked a community, but something that has brought devastation to the entirety of the globe, and that is sin. And this broken stuff, God says, listen, I want to make something good out of it, but it's going to take some time. And may we be found available. May we not be the kind of person who says, you know what, I just don't have the time. Because I believe when we say stuff like that, it breaks the heart of God. Because it's going to take time to build a kingdom. There's a world that needs touching and changing. May we offer ourselves to Him, all of us, even our time. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you love us. Lord, I thank you that you use such imperfect people to do something to change a broken world. And God, our world is broken and we need you. Lord, help us use our time well. God, in those moments where we just foolishly waste it, would you forgive us? Lord, when we're so busy with every other piece of life, but no time to build the kingdom, Lord, would you forgive us? Holy Spirit, we need your help to take responsibility and control of our calendars and our time, that we might honor you and live your purpose. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
You take our lives, flawed yet beautiful. Restore, refine, Lord, you're merciful. Redeem, revive, Spirit of God, breathe on your church, pour your presence, speak through your word. We pray in every nation, Christ be known, our hope and salvation, Christ alone. New power, new as divisions fall, one church and one bride, Jesus, Lord of all, with one voice we cry, Spirit of God, church, pour out your presence, speak through your word. We pray in every nation, Christ be known, our hope and salvation is Christ alone.
That is our hope, Christ, Christ alone. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to build your kingdom. And God, we continue to yield ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that we would be intentional with our time to build your kingdom. Lord, thank you for your people. God, as we go into this week, Lord, I thank you that you have positioned us and you desire to use us. Lord, as we meet people along the way this week, may your goodness, your love, your grace touch and change hearts, not just now, but for all eternity. Thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you guys. So glad that you're here. Hey, if there's anything we can be praying with you about, please fill out a connection card and put it on one of the tables at the back. We want you to know we're praying for you and with you, that God would do something great in you and through you. God bless you as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Go into strength and his might. God bless. Amen.